Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy. Machine learning, artificial intelligence, and the future of business are on the agenda as Jacksonville Business Journal Editor-in-Chief Tim Gibbons welcomes industry leader Ted Willich, CEO of NLP Logix.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Florida Business Minds. We've talked a lot over the years and always enjoy talking to you, so this should be a fun conversation. So I'm going to start off, I want to get into some AI stuff, because that obviously is the topic du jour for a lot of people. But I want to start out by kind of orienting the listeners just by getting to know you a bit. So you spent years in the Marine Corps, you co-founded a medical tech company previously, and then you co-founded NLP Logix 13 years ago. Walk me through that. How'd you decide that machine learning, big data, that sort of thing was the field you wanted to do?
You got all that right, the time in the Marine Corps and then the med tech. And really it was at the med tech that we decided to start the company. We were doing a lot of machine learning for internal consumption at the previous company. And obviously we're in the healthcare space. One, we felt like machine learning and AI would become something someday. And then just started going at it from there. The original business plan was to use natural language processing to integrate disparate health IT silos, because we felt like that technology was really something that would be useful in the future. Now language modeling is all the rage, but we'd like to say that we thought of that back then, but that's not true. But we felt like, that healthcare needed a solution for all the disparate silos and data that's all over the place. So we felt like applications of machine learning would be able to help solve those problems.
It has to be a little bizarre for you as you pick up, the newspaper every day and there's always some AI story. And I go back to our coverage of you and we talk about natural language processing. We talk about big data. I don't think you ever used the term AI 10 years ago. What is it like to look around and have AI be a buzzword when you've been in whatever you want to call that field of big data stuff for, more than a decade?
Yeah, it is bizarre from the standpoint of the first couple years trying to make a sale was very difficult, because just trying to explain what can be done using machine learning. And for the first few years, honestly, Timothy, when AI became a buzzword, we fought it. We're like, no, it's not AI. It's really machine learning. And we still contend that to this day, but we're going to lose that fight. So we just said, all right, we'll call it AI. There's just going to need to be some pretty big leaps forward for it to become true, artificial intelligence. So the joke around here is AI is how we sell it and machine learning is how we deliver it. So that's what kind of saying. But it's been good in the sense, too, that there's an awful lot of experts out there now that kind of found their way and they're helping to evangelize. And so it has helped, honestly, the company and our exposure, since we have been doing it for so long successfully.
I know you've talked about that before, the idea of having to basically educate customers, because people will come to you with a problem, terabytes of data or whatever, but they don't know what can be done. How do you go about explaining what it is that your employees and your team and your algorithms can do?
At a 30,000 foot level, what we do is say, if your business is big enough, and we focus purely on business and organizational automation, that's really what we do. We tell them that there's really five or six core technologies that make up AI today. So what we tell them is, based on the type of data that you have and the type of tasks that your humans do right now, a lot of that can be automated. So if you have humans looking at visual things, like maybe doing a key from image, if you have a lot of people looking at a document and then they're keying it into another system, computer vision is a really, really good use case for that. And, if you have, we have a lot of customers in the property and casualty space, and they do a lot with claims. And so they take pictures of property damage and things like that. That's another really good use case for computer vision. Obviously, language modeling has made some really big leaps in the last 18 months. And so we're doing a lot. We've always done a lot of language modeling, which is why our name is NLP Logix, but the technology's gotten a lot better. And so we tell people, if you've got a large corpus of information, whether you're a law firm or you deal in a lot of documents or correspondence or regulations, then that's really kind of a really good use case for language modeling. And then there's, your typical predictive modeling, your training algorithms to estimate and do things like that are all just really good business use cases. And businesses are really jumping on board now. It has really accelerated the last 18 months to 2 years, which is certainly exciting for us.
I know you've talked about some of that, unstructured data and the idea of taking, whether it's a law firm in discovery or, doctor's notes, anything where there's a bunch of information and it would take a human a long time to read through it and figure out the thing. It's unstructured, but there's an order to it of some sense. And now it's just training the computer to do it. And years past, you've shown me examples. Sometimes it seems magical. It's like, the fact that it can pull out the key points. Talk us through how your team approaches that. And I use your team particularly because I know, your slogan is a team sport, that this very much is not a genius sitting in the corner on a computer. It's a bunch of people coming together. How do you approach those projects?
It's definitely a team sport. And, the team really begins, on the sales side, just talking to the customer, seeing what their needs are, what's their pain. We like to say if we can solve our customers' problems, they'll solve ours. And so it really starts at that level. And then we have a team of what we call our innovation team. They get involved in the sales process because these are our more senior people, and we have them build prototypes to show what can actually be done. Nothing full blown in production or any of that, but to actually prove to a customer that there is ROI here, that it can be done. And that innovation team is made up of mathematicians, statisticians, and a software engineer kind of working together. So there's three right there. And then when we do make a bigger sale and we're building an application or we're building an automation, then that's where we'll bring in pretty senior software engineers, business analysts, all play a role in developing and deploying some type of machine learning solution.
Obviously, having a team like that leads to the question of hiring. It's a hot field right now. That doesn't necessarily mean that the probably trained people are easy to find. I kind of got two questions on that front. One is just, I'm curious from a local hiring standpoint, most of your workforce is here. I know you have remote people as well. But with AI being, both hot and on the cutting edge, how difficult is it to find people to fill your needs?
So we've really been fortunate in the way we've been approaching growing the team and identifying new team members, onboarding them, training them, is we've really boiled the machine learning solution pipeline into consumable chunks. And what we do is really focus on bringing in people like software engineers, math and stats. We do have quite a bit of requirements for supporting. So we have a whole help desk, and we're kind of a combination of a software development shop, but also a consultancy. So we're very custom, we're very bespoke. And so I would say the key really to our hiring has been just breaking those tasks down and then bringing in people and training them up. Training here is absolutely continuous because we use open source tools. You can go out and you can download the ChatGPT algorithms, and you can, all this stuff is very much out there. It's just, you got to know what to do with it is really kind of that key thing. 30% of our employees graduated from the University of North Florida. We did a survey, like 60% of our employees graduated from a school in Florida, whether it's Florida State, University of Florida. So we've really been able to grow the company here in Jacksonville nicely just because it's a great place, right? And a lot of big companies, moving in. The universities have been doing a good job of getting students that those base skills that they need, that they can come over here and start contributing, pretty quickly after that.
It's funny when you talk about the algorithms are out there sort of thing. It reminds me of, you know, photographer friends I have. I can buy the same camera they have. I'm not going to be taking the same photos. There's a skill there that the equipment's just, frankly, sometimes not even the most important piece of it.
It is absolutely the case. That is a really good example. You could give me a camera and I will guarantee you I will be taking worse pictures than you. And it's not just the tool, you know, it's the skill behind it, or a carpenter, these skill sets you have to learn, and it takes time. And, you know, we've been fortunate so far that we've been able to grow the team nicely here in the Jacks.
Along those lines, I know one of the things that you do is put a lot of effort, put a lot of resources into your internship programs. Looking more broadly at that, if you had advice for students, probably students who are already in a computer or math or statistics sort of focus, but people who are either looking to AI as a career, or career switchers who are looking to, you know, move from something similar to that, what advice would you have for them?
I'd give a couple of pieces of advice. One would be, you know, start studying about data science and the fundamentals. There's a ton of courses, you know, between Coursera and Udemy. You can take Python programming class. There's a joke that's out there. It says, if it's AI, it's written in PowerPoint. If it's machine learning, it's written in Python. So I would say, you know, start taking some basic Python courses, take some basic modeling courses, and they're all out there and they're all pretty much free. The other thing I'd recommend is there's a data science site called Kaggle, Kaggle.com. They were bought by Google a few years ago, but they have contests that they run all the time that you can sign up and you can get a lot of experience and kind of measure yourself where you are compared to the rest of the people out there that are trying to get into this field. But Kaggle is a really good place to start. And then I would also say internships. We've got a really, really good business intelligence person that works for us now. And he started by saying, I will work for free. He said, I will do whatever it takes. I want to start learning this stuff. I will work for nothing if you guys train me and stuff. So we took it on, and within a few weeks, he was really contributing. So of course we got to pay him, because, you know, got to be fair, but he's really contributing. So I would say a positive attitude and a go get him attitude. No one is going to gift this to you. Like, it's not an entitlement. It's something that if you want to go after it, it is definitely achievable if you could be a contributor.
Ted Willich joining us. Next, lessons he's learned as Florida Business Minds continues. People's Gas, working with businesses across Florida to lower energy usage and costs with efficient natural gas. Get cashback energy conservation rebates when you install new natural gas equipment. Learn more at peoplesgas.com/bizrebates.
You're talking about education in the sense of, you know, learning Python, but you mentioned earlier that lifelong learning is part of the company DNA. What have you learned over the past 13 years about the business, about leadership? What lessons have you learned?
Oh, man, a lot, and continue to learn more and more every day. On the leadership front, the challenges of the labor market was extraordinarily tight. We opened up a couple of teams over in the Philippines and a team in Serbia. And I've learned that the world really is very small, and you can, before COVID, I never, ever would have even thought of doing anything outside the U.S. And really, it's opened my eyes to a lot of talented people out there. And they really do, you know, appreciate the U.S. And the technology here. So that was a big one on the leadership front. On the business front, just growing a company from basically a couple dudes in a, actually, it was at Taco Lou's was really where we started it. Me, Matt, and Robert Marsh. And just kind of going from zero to now, we should be pushing $30 million this year, you know, in revenue if the stars align and everything goes well. So, yeah, just kind of the growth pains and the changes and everything has been a real lesson.
So we've talked mainly about AI, machine learning, whatever the most appropriate term is,
in terms of the
analyzing things. I know you do some things with generative AI. This question I'm actually almost asking you more as on a consumer level. I'm just curious, as somebody who's been in this field for so long, what's your reaction like the first time you sat down and started playing with ChatGPT or Dream Studio or any of those generative AI products. What do you think?
So I love it. We use the heck out of it. We've adopted Copilot. We had GitHub actually do a lunch and learn for our team on the tool. So we absolutely embrace the heck out of these. You know, for me, I think it's absolutely amazing. And, you know, it's like any other tool. If you use it for good, then that's a good thing. And tools can be used for bad, and that's not a good thing. So the other thing, too, is you just got to kind of trust but verify. Obviously, it's not perfect. And it will give you, very confidently, it will give you the wrong answer. And so those type of things are, you just got to really watch it. But that's anything. That's not just the Gen AI stuff, but any type of predictive modeling or any type of machine learning, it's really a function of the data that it's trained on. So if it's trained on information that's not right, it will give you not right answers. And that's something to always kind of keep in mind. And then the other is, there's a lot of information out there that, you know, Bard or ChatGPT has never seen. So you got to kind of keep that in mind as well. So any type of, like a publication like the JBJ, where you subscribe, that data has not seen the light of day as far as the language models go. So you're not going to be able to pick up a lot of information. And that kind of goes across the board of all the data that is out there that hasn't seen, that Bard or ChatGPT have not seen.
It's interesting. You talk about that confidently incorrect. And yeah, I mean, you can run a pivot table in Excel and it will say this is the answer and it's wrong because you misunderstood what you were pivoting on or somebody typed the information in wrong. It doesn't have the same authority when it's a cell in a spreadsheet, but just because you gussy it up in words doesn't make it any more likely to be right.
That is absolutely correct. Yeah, absolutely.
So as you look at the state of the industry, what are you excited about on the horizon?
Oh man, there's so much. I'm excited about the disruption that this is going to have in the industry. You know, I don't think that AI is going to conquer the human race, but I do think that humans using AI will conquer industries, and they will absolutely have such a big head start that it's going to disrupt some things. You know, if you're not at least thinking about ways that you can use your data to make your business better, you're going to start to fall behind a little bit at a much more accelerated pace than could happen. So to me, that's exciting. Like I think it's going to create all new industries and all new jobs and opportunities for the folks here, for our economy and all of that.
I have to ask, just because of what you do and because you brought up conquering the human race, do you actually think, not asking about conquering the human race, but do you actually think that a general purpose AI will be developed in our lifetime?
I think we're a long ways away from it. We're some computational leaps away from that. And because if you look at, you know, generative AI right now is really single purpose applications that are kind of tied together. So ChatGPT is natural language processing with really, really good predictive modeling. So it's a really good estimation tool of what's happening. Now it creates content, but it's really not like some general AI that's all knowing. It's specific technologies kind of lumped together to do that. I think we're a ways away from it. Where I think we're going to see in our lifetime is just more applications of the core technologies that have really been driving this stuff for, you know, going back to Alan Turing and all the way back to, we use a lot of the stats that a guy named Bernoulli used, and he was like a Dutch guy from like the 1800s. So I think it's going to take some pretty big leaps, but I've been wrong before, so who knows? We'll be watching though.
So I talked about what you're excited about kind of on the technology front, but as we get close to wrapping up, what are you excited about for the company? What's next for NLP Logix?
We've got a lot of really exciting new clients in the pipeline that are going to get us onto a bigger national stage. One of our largest clients now, you know, Step Up for Students is, you know, being the platform that's driving school choice here in Florida and now in other states. So I think that is a super exciting thing for our company to be kind of right in the middle of that and driving it. It's super exciting. exciting for the city of Jacksonville as well. And then, yeah, just some of the clients that we have coming down are going to be much bigger names. We're doing bigger things. AWS has brought us into some really cool opportunities. And yeah, just exciting. We always describe ourselves as the last mile of AI, because a lot of these tools will get you, they're going to get you 90 yards down the field, that it's that last 10 yards to get into the end zone that gets a little bit tough. And yeah, we're just excited to be a part of that.
Excellent. Well, that is a good point of venue to wrap this up. I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. And if the robot overlords do take over, I will point them to this interview. And I think we're on the side of the good guys. So, you know, that will save us.
Very good. Thank you, Timothy, for the support over the years.
Awesome. Thanks again.
Thank you for downloading Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy.